Today's Mishnah in Kehilim, Perek Chaf Hei, which is Perek Sandal, and Mishnah Vav. Now today we're going to be, remember, we're talking about, we've been discussing the issue of leather that is not really a base kibbol. It's essentially flat. And the question is, at what point could it be Mekabel Tumas Midras? So, how about if you have a suit bag, and that suit bag has got a leather, you know, it's a leather, flat piece of leather. You stick the suit in between the two flat pieces of leather. Now, as we know, standing in line, waiting for passport control, will often lead you to sit on your carry-on, right? So the question is, will it also lead you to sit on your suit bag? Therefore, the Mishnah says, absolutely. And therefore, a suit bag is considered to be something that is roy for sitting on, and people will always take advantage of that when they are in a long line, and because of that, it'll be matami tumas midras. And the same thing would be true for a tachrich suit, which is basically the same idea. Instead of being shaped like a bag, this was like just a flat piece of leather, and then you would put some valuable piece of clothing that you have and roll it up in the leather covering, which would protect it. That is certainly metami tumas midras because it's an accepted secondary usage and it's not called an amod v'nase malachtenu. Now, how about a bag that is used to store argaman, which is quite expensive, or a tachrich, which is used for argaman? So Beit Shammai says that also is roy for tumas midras, whereas Beit Hillel says these things are not used for sitting on, because that's very expensive stuff, argaman. Nobody's going to want to sit on it. However, it is going to be only minarabanan. It is going to be mekabel tumas meis. And why is that? Again, because of this idea of tsuras kli. So even though technically speaking, it doesn't really have a base kibbol, and when you're carrying it, lechor, if it's not royal midras, it shouldn't be royal tamei meis, which is true midiraisa. But remember, anything that you're going to walk into a store in the airport and they're going to be selling you for an exorbitant price to wrap your stuff in, you know, beautiful leather wrap, is certainly takes the appearance to people of a real kli. And because of that, the rabbanon were geyser that it would be mekabel tuma. Or sha'asa'or chipui l'kli. Suppose you took a piece of leather, flat leather, and you started using it to cover a kli. That a cover is not roy to be mekabel tuma at all. Why is that? Because remember the pasuk of kol kli asher ye'ase melacha b'hem, and a covering is not considered to be a tool. But if you decided to use it as a covering for weights, now that's something else. Because over there, you usually will bring it around the weight, and that gives it the shape of a container. You'll note that Moshe is desperately trying to lose weight in the Daf Yomi over here, which is a great idea. You can just walk back and forth and make sure you do your 10,000 steps while you're doing the Daf Yomi. So in that, it's okay. So the halacha over there would be that if it's for mishkalot, since it ends up becoming shaped like it, it can actually hold it. Rabbi Yossi says, and who is Rabbi Yossi's father? I'll bet you don't remember. Chalafta! Today's Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi quotes his Abba, Chalafta, Mishum Aviv, that it's tohar, again, because it's not, that's not its primary use at all. And now moving on to Kalim Perek Chavav, Mishnah Zayin. So, remember our very important klal that we had at the end of the last perek, that you're able to turn something into a kli that is royal kabel tuma simply b'machshava. You do not have to do anything that physically changes it to be moridli de tuma. To be motzi from tuma, you would have to actually do a maisa, because a maisa is motzi midei maisa and midei machshava, but a machshava itself cannot be motzi from a maisa. Now, the question is, how about where the machshava is not really going to be meaningful in terms of a practical result unless it's followed by a maisa? So, in other words, let's say a guy decides that he wants to use a piece of leather. I've decided I'm going to use this to make a pair of shoes. I mean, you're not going to say that it becomes tummy at that point as if it's a pair of shoes, right? So kol makom she'ein chesron milacha, if nothing is missing that you would still need to do physically to make your machshava embodied in the result, so then indeed the machshava itself is metame. But kol makom she'esh chesron melacha, if you're going to still need to do work on it in order for it to be what you want it to be, then the machshava itself will not be metame, because you need to actually do the work that you had been committed yourself to work. So this is true in general, but I'll give you like a case where it isn't really true, you'll say. And that would be ha'utzba. Now, an utzbah would be a covering for a saddle. And over there, so even though normally, let's say if I would take an unfinished piece of leather and I would say, okay, I want to use this for shoes. That obviously is ridiculous. But the truth is, even I want to use it for a tablecloth. I'm going to put a tablecloth with all kinds of pieces and strands of raw leather that are hanging down on the sides. So it's still going to be needing trimming in order for it to be a proper tablecloth. So even that, it wouldn't be makabel tuma. But suppose I want to use it as a saddle cover, so then it's roy at that point for tumas midras, because people are not makpid on that, and they will simply use really a raw piece, and which is not very pretty, but it's good enough to be used. Okay, continuing on to Mishnah Chet. So, as we said, if you don't need to change it, then the machshava begins instantly, makes it roy to be makabel tuma. Orot ba'al habayit. Now let's make sure that we understand what that is referring to. If you are not a wholesaler or retailer or leather worker that is going to be working on these things in order to sell them, that's where this is true, because in that case, your machshava is ultimately what this thing is going to be used for. And so if it's a machshava, something that is currently usable without further ado, note the word, without further ado, so then there's no maisa that's required. In which case, I'm sure that's where they got the idea of no further ado, is this Mishnah, so that the machshava alone would be enough to be metame. So let's say you're a balabayit, and you've got these hides, orot balabayit, so the moment you want to use it, let's say you want to use it for lying on or whatever, or a carpet, so then it's roy for that, and it can be mekabel tuma at that moment. But if you are a professional, you're an abdan, so then ultimately you know that your intent on the things that you're working on is to sell them. And therefore, any machshava that you have is understood by you as just a temporary kind of thing. Because, I mean, basically, a customer's going to walk in and he's, oh, this is a nice piece. It was the piece that you were using for a tablecloth, right? But the customer is going to say, well, can you make me a pair of boots out of this? And then that's exactly what you're going to do. So because of that, it's not really a finalized idea, my machshava. And as a professional, it's always considered to be a machshava on something that may require further ado. And therefore, it's not going to be roi to be metame. But a fascinating question is, what about an illegal ownership? So in other words, if somebody steals something, right, now would he be considered the owner to be able to have the machshava about what it's going to be used for? Are we going to take into consideration that a guy who steals something is afraid that the cops might come and take it back, and then he considers his own stealing to be merely a temporary usage? Or maybe he's actually persuaded himself that one of these days he's going to give this back, and therefore he doesn't really view it as a final designation. So what's the halacha? So suppose, now remember that there's two different types of stealing in the Torah. One of them is called geneva, and one of them is called gizela. The geneva is something that is taken without the owner's knowledge. So you're a burglar, is a ganav. Somebody who is, however, a robber. So he's a robber, he'll stick you up and take it, and he obviously, you know who he is, and he doesn't care about the fact that you know that who he is. So therefore, we're going to make a distinction about who you are. Are you a ganav or are you a gazlan? So suppose these orot are in the hands of a ganav. Over there, the Machshava is Metame. Why? Because he basically figures it's his for good. The owner has been Miyayish because he figures, yeah, how am I ever going to get it back? Sure, the cops are going to figure out where my tablecloth is. That'll be the day. So because of that, since he has no idea who it is, he gives up. And that means that the real owner is the Ganav. Masha Inken Shel Gazlan, since I know who he is, I'm not going to be Miyayish. Maybe I can actually get an honest policeman to go and get it back from me. Rabbi Shimon Omer, just the opposite. Shel Gazlan, if the guy is a Gazlan, he basically, if he was afraid that you could get it back, he would not have robbed it in the open like that, don't you think? I mean, the very fact that the guy is willing to stick you up and take it means that he really is not concerned about being arrested for possession of firearms. So because of that, Dafka, he's the one that's going to become the owner, and the poor victim has got no hope of getting it back. Masha Inkein, if it was stolen by a ganav, then the balim are not mityayesh, because he hopes that maybe actually the cops will find the guy, and at that point he'll be able to get them back. But in any event, the machlokas over here, that being a psychological issue regarding yush and so on, it involves us over here only because it's the question of whether that machshava, did the person who have that machshava actually have a machshava that could give a final definition of what this is, because that's the important nekuda when it comes to a kli. In order for something to be makabel tuma, it needs to be defined as a kli. So it isn't just the kind of question that has to do with malach on Shabbos, where over there has nothing to do with whether you're a ganav gaz or anything else. This is what I'm going to do. But over here, the definition of the kli is in terms, remember, very fundamentally, and that's why this is an important Mishnah, very fundamentally is the relationship of the human being to the tool. Things that are kalim because they happen to be usable in nature are not considered to be roy to be makabel tuma, ever, correct? So the whole idea, and that's why it's called das, remember, we're in Taharot, which is the Seder that is called Da'at. So it's the relationship of the individual to the thing. Therefore, it involves whether you actually do have a relationship or whether that type of relationship can be called Da'at, which involves the question of Yush of the real owner and whether he loses his chibur to that kli, also a function of Da'at.